It's been almost 40 years since the end of the Vietnam War, and while time has healed some wounds on both sides, there are still a lot of unanswered questions and unresolved issues.
And according to our next guest, veterans of the war are doing something about it. Some vets are living there and attempting to foster reconciliation between the two countries, while other former U.S. soldiers are traveling there to find closure.
Joining us now to talk about this is Nissa Ree. She is a writer and a journalist. Her piece, Why U.S. Veterans Are Returning to Vietnam, was the cover story in the Christian Science Monitor. Nissa, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we appreciate having you along with us. I want to start out by talking about this idea of going back. And soldiers throughout history, I think, have been going back. And certainly we saw that, you know, soldiers from World War II going back to Normandy Beach and so forth. But in your piece, you point out that going back to Vietnam is different.
Yes, it's different for two main reasons. You know, one, in the case of Vietnam War, we lost. So soldiers who came back had to live with that stigma, and there was a very unpopular sentiment around the war, as opposed to World War II, where the veterans were seen mostly as heroes. And another reason is that until the mid-1990s, it was very difficult for Americans to go to Vietnam and return to those battlefields. The U.S. had sanctions, and it wasn't until 1995, 20 years after the fall of Saigon, that relations between the two countries were normalized.
But there were vets who were trying to get back to Vietnam before that, wasn't there? And as I understand it, it was tough to get in, and it was tough to stay there.
That's right. It was really tough to get in, and the vets who did go back in those early years were warned by the State Department and others, you know, they shouldn't go back, that it's dangerous there, that there is no U.S. embassy or support there. But they really wanted to go back, and, you know, for a number of reasons, you know, the MIA soldier issue was still big in people's minds. There was the question of Vietnamese-American children fathered by U.S. troops. And there was, open wounds that people were looking for closure there and reconciliation.
So what made this a topic that you decided was worthy of further study and ultimately a book?
Well, I think it's a really unique and inspirational story. You know, we often hear about wars when they're going on, and we might hear about some of the legacies of a war, even of the landmine victims or, in the case of Vietnam, Agent Orange victims. But we don't often hear about former enemies, the people who are actually shooting each other, coming together like this and addressing the consequences of war like they're doing in Vietnam.
And, you know, it seems to me that after the Vietnam War ended, that for a long time, the American media didn't necessarily even want to talk about it very much. There were other things to cover, other stories.
That's right. So it is a story that's really slipped out of the consciousness. And even in our history classes today, Vietnam War is not something that's covered in a lot of high schools or grade schools. So you have a new generation coming up, my generation, that did not grow up during the war and who really know very little about the war. And I think that's really troubling. You know, the Gallup did a poll earlier this year, and they found that the only population of Americans who think that the U.S. was justified in going to war in Vietnam are people under 30, so the younger people who know very little about the war.
And so where do you start when you're working on a book like this? The whole premise is, you know, veterans who have gone back for one reason or another, but as we've already discussed, there are a lot of veterans with a lot of different reasons for going back. They may be living there. They may be just visiting. How do you start trying to sort all of this out?
Well, for me, it was a matter of getting to know some of the American veterans who are working in Vietnam, and they often know other people. You know, there's in an expat community anywhere, there's a lot of connections usually. But among Vietnam American veterans living in Vietnam, they're very tight community. They often get together for different activities, for Thanksgiving, or to work on projects together. So they have a strong network that I was able to tap into and get to know the men living and working there.
Yeah, and one of the ex-soldiers that you talked with and featured in your article is a person named Greg Clevin, He's been living in Ho Chi Minh City, I think, since about the early 1990s, making him the very first American to live in Ho Chi Minh City after the war. So maybe let's focus on him for a few minutes. Why did he make the decision to go back to Vietnam and stay?
Well, he was, like a lot of the men who returned, he was curious about what was going on there. So that was one of the main reasons he went back for the first time as a tourist. He was wondering what happened to Vietnam and Vietnamese people after he left, because, as you mentioned, there wasn't much media coverage after Saigon fell in 1975. And once he was there, he really saw he could do some good there. He felt like he had some, you know, things that he regretted doing as a soldier, and now was a chance for him to be a teacher instead and help people instead of killing them.
And let's talk about his life in Ho Chi Minh City now, because in the article that you wrote in the Christian Science Monitor, that cover story, it's pointed out that if you're returning to Ho Chi Minh City now and you were there, you know, in the 60s or 70s, you're not going to really recognize it.
Yes, it's a very different city. And, you know, in some ways it's very westernized, has a lot of tall buildings, and, you know, all the international businesses are headquartered in Ho Chi Minh City. So there's not a lot of remnants of the war there. I mean, there are museums, and you can, just a little outside of Saigon, you can visit the old Cu Chi tunnels where the North Vietnamese troops would hide and, you know, ambush people during the war. So there's tourist attractions, but it's really a completely transformed city today.
And how is it, you know, how does it feel for veterans and, I guess, tourists who return to Ho Chi Minh City these days, knowing that it was the site of so much, you know, so many terrible things that happened, and, you know, going there and seeing it sort of, I don't want to say covered up, but, you know, there are beaches now, there are tourist destinations, and yet underneath it all is, the, you know, the specter of all those things that happened 40 or 50 years ago. How does that resonate with the veterans who are there? What are they trying to accomplish when they go back, when they live there? And, how are they trying to put all these pieces together?
Well, it is, you know, like some veteran told me that it's like visiting your old grade school. So some things look a lot smaller than they used to. Some things look a lot different than you remember. So in some ways, you know, veterans who go back and they go back to a place they fought in a battlefield, for example, will find that there's hardly anything there left. They won't be finding lots of bullet shells even. It might be a farm. It might be a village now. And so that will be a shock to some people and a disappointment. But in other ways, it's a relief for a lot of veterans to know that, you know, the war did not destroy the country. This Vietnam has gone on, it has prospered, and there are still, you know, these remnants of war and consequences of war. But, you know, by and large, Vietnam has moved on and is, you know, a fully modernized country now.
And as I understand it, it seems as though the traffic in terms of veterans returning to Vietnam is picking up these days, as many of them are retiring, they've got more free time and so forth. Is that what you're seeing?
Yes, the number of tourists going back from the U.S. to Vietnam seems to be picking up. And, you know, of course, that's great for the Vietnamese tourism industry, but it seems to be, from talking to tourist agencies, that, you know, American veterans are older now. Many of them are in 60s or 70s. They're retired. They have more time to travel and possibly more money now that their children are not around. So they're able to go back to Vietnam and experience it and, you know, revisit the places they served.
And at the same time, when they go back, at some point they must run into a person who may have been a soldier that they fought against at some point.
Yes, a lot of the veterans I've talked to have told me about that. Usually on the first day even, someone comes up to them and asks them if they were a veteran or if they served there before. And a lot of them are nervous what will happen next. But most people are, you know, extremely welcoming And, you know, what I found is that a lot of Vietnamese respect American veterans more than, say, me or any other American citizen because they serve their country and they really respect that patriotic duty they did.
Now, how open were veterans to talking to you about this? I mean, it seems like you're dredging up some pretty emotional subjects, some pretty difficult times for them. Are these topics that, as a rule, you had easy access to, or did it take some digging? Did it take some prodding to get the stories out?
Well, I think the American veterans who are living in Vietnam today have done a lot of soul searching, and most of them are pretty open about talking about the experience they went through, you know, leaving Vietnam and living with their memories in the U.S. and then returning to Vietnam. Now, but most veterans will never go back to Vietnam. You know, a lot of veterans never want to talk about their experience during the war. So, you know, they are a bit of an exception in that way. But I found that the Vietnam vets in Vietnam were pretty open with me about what they had gone through.
We're talking with Nissa Rhee about veterans, the idea of Vietnam veterans returning to Vietnam, and we'd like to hear from you, too. Are you a veteran of any war or a Vietnam veteran? And is Vietnam a place that you would like to go back to, see where you were, see what it's like now? 40 years down the road, what do you think needs to be done to foster reconciliation between these two countries? Give us a call. We have a toll-free number for you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email. That address is talk@WPR.org.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Mike Arnold.
And I'm Gene Purcell. We're continuing our conversation now with Nissa Rhee about Vietnam veterans returning to Vietnam. She's got a piece in the Christian Science Monitor on this, and she's working on a book on it as well. If you'd like to join in the discussion, you can do that at 800-642-1234. If you're a Vietnam vet, have you ever considered the idea of going back? 800-642-1234. Let's go to the phones right now, and Harry is with us from Rhinelander. Hi.
Hello. I spent two tours in Vietnam, 1967, 1968, 1969, 1970, in a Marine Corps and I Corps. 6 years ago, I had the opportunity to return to visit Vietnam with a tour of 12 people. The people were very gracious. They'd sit down and talk with you. There was no animosity, and the country is just doing wonderful. It's almost on the cusp of democracy right now because of all the tourism. So the Vietnam I visited 6 years ago was not the Vietnam I fought in, and it's better for all of us, and I'm really happy that the country is doing well.
So let me ask you this, Harry, if you could hold on for a second. You know, I don't imagine you had a lot of fun in Vietnam in your first two tours there. Why was it that so many years later you made the decision to go back? Is that something you had to think about for a long time, or all of a sudden one day you just said, you know what, I got to pick up and go?
No, actually, I love the country. The people basically were very good, except for the people that are trying to kill you. But the country is beautiful. You've got mountains, you've got sandy beaches, you've got exotic animals and food, and, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful country. So as soon as they opened the gates and we could get the tour together, we went back over.
And, you know, a lot of vets, though, I imagine, would not look forward to the idea of going back. Is this something that you've talked about with fellow vets? Have you tried to convince them that, you know, maybe they ought to consider that?
Well, I don't try to convince them, and you're right, about 50% say no. No way, I'm not going over there again. But the other 50% say yes, let me have the opportunity. And it's just a wonderful experience for the veterans out there that they should enjoy.
But it's got to be their decision.
Correct.
All right. Well, Harry, thanks so much for your time. So Nissa Rhee, there we go, Harry's story. He was there back in the 60s and part of the Marines, and then years and years later he goes back. Is it kind of a typical story that you've heard?
Yes. You know, there's a lot of people going back today, and, you know, especially in people go with the same kind of groups that they fought in. So I don't know if Harry went back with a group of Marines, but it's pretty typical for groups to go back with their fellow soldiers that they fought with 40, 50 years ago.
Do you think that it makes them feel differently about the war? You know, a lot of them were very young when they were there, and they may not have been aware of the politics or any of that.
Yes, I think going back, it will definitely change their perspective about the war. You know, a lot of the people I've talked to who have gone back, you know, went back thinking that they had destroyed the country and that they had done, you know, some really regrettable things, especially since the conversation about the Vietnam War in the U.S. is such a negative one. But they go back and they find, as Harry said, you know, a beautiful country that's doing very well on the world stage. And, you know, they realize that, you know, it is possible to forgive themselves and to move on, just as the Vietnam and Vietnamese people have moved on.
800-642-1234, if you would like to join in, if you're a Vietnam vet or a vet of any war who has gone back to visit the place where you fought, give us a call and tell us what it was like for you. Why did you make that decision to go back where so many things happened? 800-642-1234. Let's go to Josh now. Josh is in La Crosse. Hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I just tuned in, and it was interesting hearing Harry talk about going back to Vietnam. I'm a veteran of the Iraq War. I served two tours in 2006 and 2007, and I think, you know, I'm one of those who went over when they were very young and didn't have a good understanding of the politics that was involved before we went over there, and I think having gone to school since then and understanding more of the diplomatic policy that was involved and not being very happy with that and since feeling pretty negatively about my service in Iraq, I think it's a hope of mine that someday I'd be able to go back and, you know, and be there under different circumstances.
So what sorts of things, if you were to go back, I mean, as you make that trip over there, as you land, as you walk around the places you were, what sorts of things would you be looking for? What would you be thinking about?
Well, you know, the overwhelming experience for me the first time was just surviving. So, you know, you're constantly, it's all threat-based. You're looking at windows not to see who's on the other side, but whether there's a muzzle there, or you're looking for bombs on the side of the road. So being able to go there and appreciate the culture that's there, the scenery, the people, and not having to be there and always filtering things through just intense suspicion and hostility. And I don't mean to seem dramatic, but I think any veteran who will talk to you about his time in a foreign country, your primary role there is combat. So it's really, it just puts a negative spin on wherever you go.
All right, Josh, thanks so much for the call. Nissa Ree, you know, Josh brings up a really good point. When you go back years later and sort of, I guess, more in the tourist mode, you really do have a different set of eyes for that country.
Yes, and he reminded me of something one veteran told me who's living there, Sewell Jones, also a Marine veteran. He said that, you know, during the war, he was in the DMZ, and he never saw a Vietnamese person that he wasn't shooting at. So one of his goals in going back was really to learn about the culture, learn about the food there, and see the country in a time of peace and, you know, just as a tourist as opposed to a soldier.
Let's go back to the phones right now. Lee is with us from St. Charles, Minnesota. Hi.
Hello. I was a Marine Corps rifleman, 68, 69, up by the DMZ, and I was fortunate to get involved with a group called the Dub Fund. It stands for the Development of Vietnam Endeavors, and we've been back twice. We've donated money and built schools and done water projects there, and it's been a very emotional experience. And at one school for the dedication, they had a big line of kids waiting for us, and we walked down the road leading to the school, and I said to my friend, well, we finally got our parade.
So, yeah, did it change the way you felt about the war?
Well, I guess I was lucky I didn't have so many strong opinions. I think one thing is I've done a little research, and then so many people that served over there was such a wide range of experiences. One guy I went through boot camp with, he got to manage the bowling alley in Da Nang. So I think everybody had completely different experiences. And like a previous caller said, too, we were always out in the jungle. So I had very little interaction with Vietnamese civilians. So, but it was a very meaningful experience for me, and I'm very glad I've done it. And like another caller had said too, you bring it up, and some guys, former veterans, think you're crazy for doing it, and others think they might be interested in going back.
Lee, thanks so much for the call. Nissa Ree, you know, as you look forward to the veterans, do you see more of this tourism taking place? Are we going to be hearing more about this and learning more about the war from veterans who have been back?
Yes, I hope so. You know, the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War is coming up, and the U.S. government is doing a lot of preparations for that anniversary. So I think there's going to be a renewed interest in the war in the coming years. And as more veterans go back to Vietnam, hopefully more people will find out about the great work they're doing in Vietnam, addressing some of these consequences of war and working alongside their former enemies.
And we should point out that, you know, there are some of these trips that are hard. In your piece, for example, you talk about some of the dioxin remnants of the Vietnam War. So some of these visits are not always pleasant.
That's right. There are still a lot of the remnants, the consequences of war that are still there. Agent Orange poisoning is one of them that's affecting now the great-grandchildren of the Vietnamese people who fought during the war. So it's something that's affecting generations after generations. And the unexploded bombs that are still in the land, there are still killing children and people searching for medals there. So there are still some challenges from the war left that a lot of American veterans, such as this Dove Fund that the caller mentioned, are working on and trying to address some of these legacies.
Well, Nissa, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Nissa Ree is an author and journalist. Her piece, Why U.S. Veterans Are Returning to Vietnam, was the cover story in the Christian Science Monitor.